The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented in the public interest by the Beasley Broadcast Group. Each week we focus on a worthy organization and learn how you can lend support. And now, Ellen Schulman.
Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits. This week we're talking about the Science Museum in West Palm Beach. It just had an amazing expansion, and I'm pleased to welcome Kate Ariza, like pizza, Ariza.
Yes, very
she's
good.
The CEO. She's the COO. Welcome, Kate. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us. We're happy to be here.
So for our listeners who don't even know what a science museum is, tell us a little bit about what you are and where you're located.
Well, we are located very easy to find. We're right off Southern Boulevard. You can actually see us from I-95. We're right next to the Palm Beach Zoo in Dreher Park. So you would just get off at Southern Boulevard and head through Dreher Park, and you'll find the South Florida Science Museum. And we are a hands-on, interactive, inquiry-based science museum. And actually, that's one of the reasons why we have recently changed our name. Probably by the time people are hearing this, we will be the South Florida Science Center and Aquarium. And one of the reasons why we did that is because we are not a traditional museum in the sense that you go to look at artifacts, which are really fun and fantastic, but we are a center where you actually go to do science, not just to look at science. So we felt that Science Center was much more of an accurate description of what we are and what we do. Just to give you a little bit of background, we've just celebrated our 52nd anniversary. We have been in Dreher Park. We opened our doors October 21st, 1961, and a lot of organizations say they have founding fathers. Well, we actually have founding mothers. We were founded, incorporated in 1959 by the Junior League of the Palm Beaches, and we are a product of the space race and the Russians actually launching Sputnik in 1957. The country kind of went into a panic, and junior leagues all around the country were activated. They decided to start creating these science museums, and they did them wherever they could find space, in libraries, in home garages, in schools. So the Junior League of the Palm Beaches actually found a great little spot in Dreher Park, broke ground, and here we are 50 years later. So we really are having some big changes, which we'll talk about, but lots of stuff going on at the Science Center.
So walk us through what it looks like. I mean, I saw a picture in the Sun Sentinel of somebody standing in a tube inside the aquarium, or I don't know. It was hard to tell from the picture exactly what was going on. So walk us through a couple of the experiences that people will have when they go there.
Sure. There's so much to not only see, but to do at the Science Center. One of them is the pop-up tank, which is what you just described. And we now have the largest aquarium, over 3,000 square feet, from Orlando to Miami. In this aquarium, we have a 30-foot-long shark tank with a shipwreck in it that our Aquarius actually gets in there, and she gets to go diving with the sharks. We have an 8-foot in diameter kaleidoscope of the seas tank where we have schooling bait fish swirling around. Absolutely beautiful. We have a pop-up tank, which is what you described, and it's so much fun, this tank. It's a 6-foot in diameter tank that actually the center of it and the bottom of it is cut out. So kids, actually 5 kids, can crawl underneath this tank, stand up in the middle, and be surrounded by these beautiful coral reef fish from the Atlantic and the Pacific in this tropical reef tank.
Do they crawl through a tunnel or something, or they just go underneath and pop up?
They just go underneath it. It's not really a tunnel. They just crawl underneath the actual tank and then pop up, and they're in the center. And it really does feel like you are in the middle of this coral reef. It is unbelievable. So much fun.
So you said 5 kids, but adults can do this too.
I've climbed in it.
Oh,
yeah.
Because I want to go. I want to do this for
sure. So much fun. And then we have jewel tanks, which have our octopus. We have seahorse. We have a coral propagation tank. And then we have an Everglades freshwater section as well. So we have alligators. We have turtles. We have invasive species, which are the invasive invasive freshwater fish. We tell the story of those as well. So there's really so much to see, and a gorgeous, absolutely wonderful touch tank where the kids actually get to climb up, stick their hands in, and touch a sea star or an urchin. Things like that. It's really, really fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So if you just tuned in, we're talking about the Science Museum. It's the website is sfsm.org, or the phone number is 561-832-1988. So if you change the name, is the website going to change too?
The website will change, but don't worry. If you go to that website, you'll be redirected to the new one.
Okay, so tell us the new name.
The new website will be www.sfsciencecenter.org. And that stands for SouthFloridaScienceCenter.org. So it's going to be sfsciencecenter.org. But if you still go to the old one, which is still operational right now, you will be redirected. So don't worry about that.
Google South Florida Science Center. That's probably the easiest to remember, South Florida Science Center. And I was looking at the fees to get in. They're not really that bad.
Families
can just show up, or do you have to make a reservation or buy tickets in advance? How does it work?
Required. We are very easygoing, very comparable to the other organizations around, you know, such as the zoo and Lion Country Safari. We're actually under the majority of their prices. So we'll be $13.50 for an adult ticket, $12 for a senior, and $10 for a child. And for that, you get this beautiful expanded aquarium, Everglades exhibits. You get a conservation station, a science on a sphere, which is an amazing exhibit displayed by NOAA. And every 6 months, we rotate our traveling exhibits as well. So right now, the traveling exhibit we have is called Savage Ancient Seas, and it's prehistoric sea creatures that date back 70 million years. These are actually the sea monsters that if dinosaurs stood too close to the ocean, they would actually jump out and eat the dinosaurs. That's how big these sea monsters are, and we actually have all of their fossils and skeletons on display right now in the museum. It's really fantastic.
Wow, that does sound amazing. Now, I read that you're really trying to encourage kids to pursue the STEM careers, the science, technology, engineering, and math. So I assume because of that, you have a close relationship with the local schools?
We do. We're a preferred partner with the Palm Beach County School District. So what that means is if the schools decide to take a field trip to the Science Museum, they get free transportation. So that really helps, because transportation is a huge issue with getting the students to the Science Museum. We see over 45,000 school children a year that actually come to the museum, or we go to their schools on outreach. So we see a lot of children. We touch a lot of children's lives. And the reason for that, we think it's so important. 8 out of 10 fastest growing careers in the United States focus on STEM, like you mentioned, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So all we want to do is we just want to kind of make the penny drop, as we say. You know, a child might think that being a scientist or being an engineer or something is out of the question. But with so many careers that are becoming quickly available in these fields, it's really not. And if we get them interested in some sort of exhibit or some show or something, a demonstration that they saw at the Science Museum, we feel like we can make that connection and spark that love of science that may lead them down that path to that career.
So what age group is, or are they for all age groups? Talk about
2 to 92.
Okay.
At the museum, we start with classes for children as young as 18 months. We have early learning classes. Mm-hmm. And they, like I said, 18 months, the early learning classes, up to 4 years. And then it ranges the entire spectrum with Silver Science Days. And that's for ages 62 and over. That's the second Wednesday of every month. We bring in a guest speaker, and we give the seniors a discounted rate. And they get refreshments, they get food, and they get to view this fantastic guest speaker that we bring in. So like I said, really 18 months to, you know, 100 years old. We have something for everyone there.
All right. So we've been listening to Kate Ariza from the South Florida Science Museum, soon to be the South Florida Science Center. We have so much to cover. We're going to be back in just a few minutes. If you want information, visit sfsm.org or call 561-832-1988. We'll be right back.
What if you got rewarded for every good decision? What if your heart had a special way of letting you know it appreciates your healthy choices?
Oh, I've got to get my family to eat more vegetables.
Amazing!
And instead of cooking with butter tonight, I think I'll saute our veggies with a heart-healthy oil.
You're a genius!
So really, would your food choices pay off in heart health? Did you know that when you replace bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or other vegetable oils, it can lower bad cholesterol levels? And that's good for your heart. Here's a winning idea. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Welcome back to the Forum for Nonprofits. We're talking about the South Florida Science Museum, soon to be the South Florida Science Center. And I'd like to welcome Marcy Hoffman. She's the Director of Development, to join Kate. Welcome, Marcy.
Thank you.
And Kate is back also. We talked before the break about STEM careers, about how the Science Center's mission is to encourage young people to go into science, technology, or engineering, or math careers. And both of you said you had stories, personal stories, about how that's really come to fruition. So, Marcy, let's start with you. Your daughter is going into a science career?
Yes. Sophie just graduated from Garden's pre-med magnet program and will be going to pre-med program at University of South Florida. And she pretty much grew up at the Science Museum, as I did. She's fourth-generation Palm Beacher and has fond memories of coming to the museum with her grandfather, as I did with my grandfather. And she very much attributes that exposure to science to her pursuit of medicine.
So did you work there while she was growing up, or how did that?
I've worked there for the last 3 years, but no, we've been visiting the museum since she was born.
Four generations, that's amazing. Yeah. So talk us through the experience. Did you just bring her on the weekends, or did she go to camp there?
Yeah, both. We would come on the weekends. She did go to science camp there when she was very, very young, and we would constantly go back when the traveling exhibits would rotate, and we just really had a love for the Science Museum and knew that there was no other place like it in Palm Beach County, and I really am grateful that they gave that exposure to her and led her on this great career path.
And you really believe in your heart that if the Science Museum hadn't existed, she might have chosen a different career path.
She might have.
And how did it work with her classroom? I mean, did she also go to the museum through her classes?
Well, as Kate mentioned, we have an excellent relationship with the county, with Palm Beach County School Board. And so a lot of the exposure was brought to not only her classroom, but she would attend through field trips. She went on field trips from the time she was in preschool, elementary school, and they went there for some classes when she was in high school.
That's really fantastic. So, Kate, talk to us. So, Kate has a 2-year-old and about to have another one. But you yourself actually grew up in the Science Museum, correct?
I am. I'm what you might call a product of the product. I grew up actually volunteering at the Science Museum all throughout my high school years. It was where I did my community service. I absolutely had a passion for the Science Museum. I worked in the aquarium. I helped out with the exhibits. I remember my mother dropping me off on Saturdays and Sunday mornings and spending the entire day there. And it really sparked an interest, like Marcy said, with me as well. Went on to get my bachelor's of science degree in college and obviously loved it so much. Now I'm back working at the Science Museum.
So did you come back right after college, or how did you end up back as an employee?
A little bit of a wavy career path. I actually I was in the United States Navy for almost 10 years.
Wow.
So during that time, I graduated from the Naval Academy with my Bachelor's of Science degree, served as an officer in the Navy. And during that time, I was in education and training in the Navy. So I was training the sailors. I was teaching classes. Decided I wanted to get out of the service. I had a great time, but knew I wanted to move back home. I'm from the area. I'm born and raised here. So when I moved back here, that was when there was a job opening in the education department at the South Florida Science Museum. And since I had been doing education in the Navy, it really was it was a smooth transition, actually.
Perfect fit. How lucky they were to find you and have you come back.
Well, thank you for that. So it's been fantastic. So seeing it from a volunteer's perspective and now from the other perspective, I've seen how much of an impact that the museum can actually have. And not only that, working in the education department, actually seeing, you know, little girls and little boys come in, let's say for a frog dissection, being completely grossed out, not wanting to touch the frog. And by the end of this hour-long class, they are just mesmerized. They can't stop talking about it. They want to know where the heart is, where the liver is. They can't believe that these frogs have eggs that sometimes we find inside them. So that is also something that makes our jobs completely worthwhile. Seeing that transition in just an hour of these, you know, these children's attitudes, knowing that we actually might have just changed their path in life with that one dissection is very, very cool.
And do you find that kids at certain ages, the light bulb goes off when they're younger? I mean, do you even have high school kids that come?
We do. Like Marcy said, we do advanced dissections with the medical magnet programs throughout Palm Beach County. So the most advanced dissection that we do is a pig dissection, actually. It's a feral pig, and a very complex anatomy of this animal. So we actually bring in the medical students who are just like Marcy's daughter, Sophie, who are planning on going pre-med and going off to college and studying that. And they come in and our educators actually help them dissect. We, you know, show them where everything is. And it's really fantastic. A little bit less complex than that, we do a spiny dogfish, which is a shark dissection. And this one can be for upper middle school and high school. And this is a really fantastic dissection. These are all, I should mention, bycatch, these sharks. We don't actually go out and we don't kill the sharks or anything. These are unfortunately sharks that have been killed in fishermen's nets, and we actually get them to use for scientific purposes. So we bring the children in, and the dissection of a shark is also really amazing. They have these amazing senses on their nose called ampullae of Lorenzini, and they actually can feel electronic pulses throughout the water. So, you know, showing that to these children, and some of them are actually pregnant. So sometimes when we do the dissection, they actually will have up to 5 or 6 actually shark pups inside them, which is, you know, really neat to see. It might sound kind of sad, but it's a great teaching tool. So we do, and then for the younger kids, we do, a squid dissection, which is the most basic dissection. But all the kids really, really enjoy it.
And do you have to be part of a class to experience these dissections, or how, if you say you're from Broward County or you're not in a school system, how do you sign up to get this kind of experience?
Well, we have homeschooling, so you don't have to be part of the official school district of the Broward County School District or the Palm Beach County School District. If you are a homeschooler, we do homeschool classes as well. And but other than that, you would have to come with
a class. And do they start the curriculum in the classroom first, or do you start from scratch? Is it part of an ongoing science class that they've already had for the last several weeks?
That's a good question. What we do is at the beginning of the semester, we map out the topics that the teachers are going to be teaching in elementary, middle, and high school. And we let them know, okay, on February 21st, you're teaching about this. This is the program that we have that parallels that topic. So we have them come in. That's when they would schedule the, let's say, frog dissection, when they're learning about
that
in school.
So they're already doing it at school.
And what we do is we actually, before they come to the museum, we send them a pre-curriculum on the dissection and what exactly they're going to be doing as well. So we really want the most impact here. So if you get the information beforehand, then have them come to the museum and actually
then they get more out of it that way.
And then we actually give them a post activity as well. And they really do, it sticks with them.
Well, I don't know about you, but it's making me want to go back to school and sign up for one of those classes. It sounds amazing. So we're listening to representatives from the South Florida Science Museum, soon to be the South Florida Science Center. You can find them at sfsm.org or 561-832-1988. And we're going to be right back in a few minutes to talk even more about the Science Museum.
I'm working two jobs, and my husband works too. My kids go to school with your kids. I sit next to you at PTA meetings. We live right next door. We've been neighbors for years. You know my family and me pretty well, but here's one thing you don't know. I'm one out of every six Americans, and my family is struggling with hunger. Like you, we believe in this country. What's hard to believe is in the land of milk and honey, how many hardworking Americans have to choose between paying bills and feeding their families. This is a problem with a solution. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide seven meals for those around you quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Forum for Nonprofits. We've been talking about the South Florida Science Museum, soon to be the South Florida Science Center. And what an amazing place. I'd like to welcome Kate and Marcy back. But Marcy, we want to focus on you today because you're the Director of Development. And obviously an amazing center like this can't be possible without donations. I know you just got a large grant from the Quantum Foundation. But talk to us about how people listening to the show can help.
There's so many ways that people can be engaged at that level, helping and supporting the Science Center. As we've been talking about, we recently added a very, very large expansion, and there are lots of naming opportunities still available if that interests people. We also have very grassroots efforts in terms of fundraising. We have a paver campaign going on. People can start a donation at $250 on up to, obviously, hundreds of thousands for a naming opportunity in the aquarium. We do an annual gala, which is a very unique event. It's not your typical dinner dance with music and a band. We typically have a speaker, interactive forum. This past year we had five astronauts, former astronauts, on the panel.
And that takes place like at a lunch just during the day?
It's a dinner.
A dinner, okay.
It's a dinner in Palm Beach at the Breakers, and usually a couple hundred people attend, and that's probably our largest fundraiser other than our grant.
But it has a science theme. I like that you can actually meet astronauts or real scientists.
Yes, and last year we hosted Bob Ballard, who had discovered the Titanic, and he was extraordinarily engaging. It was a successful fundraiser, and it led people to really look forward to the forum that we had this year with the five astronauts.
So talk to us about some of the costs. I mean, I know you get some revenue from people coming to visit, but the cost is not that high. I can imagine that just maintaining that tank, all the aquatic facilities with the fish, that has to cost a lot of money.
Well, it does, and we're very fortunate to have an extremely responsive board. We have an extremely responsive community in which we live. They've been very supportive of the expansion and our daily operations in terms of supporting that budget. We have great partnerships with local foundations. We have great partnership with national foundations. As you mentioned, Quantum Foundation gave us actually two grants, one to support the Science on a Sphere exhibit, to which Kate alluded last segment. It's a fabulous suspended globe that is put on by NOAA and transmit real-time data in a 6-foot globe that suspends. Quantum also recently donated a $900,000 grant to support our traveling exhibit fund, which will enable us with this beautiful new expanded traveling exhibit hall to host some of the really high-level, sought-after traveling exhibits like Titanic and Harry Potter Science. And like I said, we are very fortunate to have a very responsive community that recognized the need for a top-level, sought-after science center.
So, but I'm sure you're always looking for new donations.
Always.
So walk
yes.
through for our listeners one more time. What are the different opportunities? Can they give online? And you can, is there a minimum donation?
There is no minimum, no maximum. They can go online. They can contact us at the phone number that you've been giving out. And we want them to feel good about their donation. We'll work with donors so that they do feel good about giving to the Science
Center. They can sponsor a classroom?
They can sponsor an exhibit. They can sponsor a camper. They can sponsor a brick outside.
We didn't even have time to talk about summer camp, so that's a great opportunity. Do you give scholarships to kids who can't afford scholarships? So supporting a camper,
yes.
Supporting exhibits,
yes.
And you talked earlier, too, about volunteers. And what is a volunteer? Is there an age requirement, a skill requirement? You can come in. At what, high school? You said high school,
yeah,
right?
16 years old, volunteers can come in, and lack of a better word, I guess they act as ambassadors. They'll help visitors identify different things in the exhibits. We have very interactive hands-on brain teasers, and they'll help our guests navigate those and navigate through the expansion. We have senior volunteers, all age range, and we do rely heavily on the volunteers. We also have, obviously, volunteer leadership that take a great deal of initiative with our fundraising efforts.
So the listeners, there's a role for everybody, and to support the South Florida Science Museum, an amazing new facility. Well, it's actually 50-year-old, but it just expanded. So anybody from age 2 to 92 can visit. If you want more information, go to southfloridasciencemuseum.org. That's SFSM.org. Or call 561-832-1988 and support the South Florida Science Museum. We'll see you next week on the Forum for Nonprofits.
Thank you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. We hope this week's worthy organization inspired you to get involved and give back. The Forum is produced by Ellen Shulman, president of Ellen Shulman Public Relations. Find out more on forumfornonprofits.org. This program is a public affairs presentation of the Beasley Broadcast Group. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.